that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, and that what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Let's pray with these words open before us. Father, we thank you that you are the God who spoke creation into being. You are the God who still speaks today through your word, the Bible. And we ask, Father, today that we would have an experience of hearing your voice, challenging us, meeting us where we're at, transforming us more and more to be like your Son. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we come to the story, I want to play a quick game, if that's okay. I know games aren't kind of the done thing in church, but I want to play how do you spot or how do you recognise certain people, okay? So, we'll start with an easy one. How do you recognise or spot someone who's a Tottenham fan? Go on, it's an open question. So they wear a t-shirt, okay? So what's that? They look sad, they've got a long face. Yeah, I knew that one was coming, so that's it. That's good. Harry. Hey, Harry, come on in.
Hello.
How are you doing? Let's just wait for Harry to come in. Come on, have a sit down, my friends. It's okay, so give me some other ways. You spot a Tottenham fan? It's a long face, t-shirt they're wearing. Scarf they might be wearing, yeah. If you were to spend a week with them, what would you see? Maybe they'd be checking their phone for football results. They might go to a game. You'd spot them, wouldn't you, by what they did. Okay, so that's one. Let's have another one. How do you spot someone who likes music? They're listening to music. Great, okay, so they might walk around with a big set of headphones on. Yeah, something like that. What else might they do?
They might sing.
They might sing. Everyone sings out of tune with headphones on, don't they? What else?
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones, yeah, a good band. Chelsea, what would you do?
People like Chrissy Hynde.
Yeah.
Chrissy Hynde.
They turn the music up, yeah. So you might see by the things that they do, you can spot the fact that they love their music, by where they go, what they spend their time doing, what they're wearing, if they've got massive headphones on. That kind of thing. Now, this has some relevance, okay, so work with me, okay? Now, bringing it back to our story today in the Bible, let me ask you another question. How do you spot someone who has been forgiven by the Lord Jesus? How do you spot someone who's been forgiven by the Lord Jesus? You're walking around, you get to know some people. How do you spot them? How do you recognize someone forgiven? Well, our story today actually addresses that question head on. You see, if you know your Bible, you may have many ways of answering that particular question. How do you spot someone who's forgiven? But our story today gives us a portrait, as it were. Luke, who writes this account of Jesus' life, he walks us into a portrait gallery and he takes us to a picture of a woman who is a forgiven woman. And he says, look, let me show you some things about her, which is how you spot someone who is forgiven. You see, here is a woman. Look with me at verse 48 of our story. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. That is what this woman is. She is a woman who has had her debts cancelled by God. She is forgiven. Now, this woman in our story is a woman we know, and we'll think about this more in a second, but she's a woman who, Jesus says, has many sins. That means that she has stacked up in her life a big pile of things that are against God, ignoring his commands, treating God like he doesn't exist. He has piled these things up. She has piled these things up. She is a woman of many sins. She's lived a sinful life. It is a woman, as we look at this portrait, who comes to Jesus weeping, but leaves with peace. It's a wonderful picture. She comes weeping, but she leaves with peace. It's a woman who we're told has faith. See, just look at me at verse 50. This is how the story ends. Jesus says to her, your faith, your total trust in me has saved you. Go in peace. This is a woman, this portrait that we're invited to look at today. See, it's hanging before us. This woman, a forgiven woman, many sins, comes weeping, leaves in peace, is a woman of faith. She has faith that Jesus is the one who can forgive her sins. Forgive the things that she has done in her life that have been against God. That is what this woman is. And in one way, this story before us just re-holds up to us a brilliant and magnificent truth about Jesus, that he is the one who forgives sins. If you've been with us on a Sunday morning, this is something we've seen in Luke's gospel over and over again. Jesus has authority. He is the Son of God come into our world to forgive the debts that we have against God. Here is that truth in our faces once again. But alongside that great truth today, we have this portrait. We have this woman who teaches you and I what it looks like. How do you spot someone who is really forgiven by Jesus? What should we look like? What should be happening? What evidence should there be in our lives? It won't be a Tottenham t-shirt. It won't be a pair of headphones, but it will be something. And so what will you see in a forgiven person? And here's the first thing I want us to see. What's that, sorry? Oh, they might have done. I don't know. I'm not a football fan, Harry. We've had that conversation. But here's the first thing, okay? The first way that you spot someone who is forgiven. They weep over their sins. A forgiven person weeps over their sins. The story opens, if you look with me at verse 36, with Jesus being invited to a Pharisee's house. Now, even there's an act of kindness. These are a group of people that are swelling in their opposition against Jesus. One of them invites him round and he says, yes, I'll go. Shows his love, doesn't it? His love for people. His love for people even who are against him. And Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house. He reclines at the table having dinner, just the way they did it. They kind of lied on a couch. Their feet were out. Their arms were in towards the table. And as they're having this dinner, as the party starts to get into full swing, something a little bit awkward happens. And you've got to kind of feel that, you know. It's one of those moments where everyone's like, ooh, you know, don't quite know what to do with this. Because a sinful woman, comes into this dinner party. Now, if you look very carefully, verse 37, a woman in that town who had lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Here is the awkward moment in the party. But a woman turns up, and we're told about this woman that she has lived a sinful life. So she's the sort of woman who has a reputation. If you read on in Luke's gospel, it is highly likely that she was a prostitute. It was highly likely that she'd lived a life and everybody in the town knew who she was. As she walks into that room, can you imagine it? The kind of the people part, you know, they don't want to get near her. She's that sort of woman. She has that sort of reputation. Everyone's a little bit awkward. Who's going to be the first person to throw her out? That's the woman in our story. But she comes. She learns that Jesus is in this house. Maybe she's encountered him before as he's preached in her area, as she's listened to her. But she comes to this house because she wants to see Jesus. And as she comes, what does she do? Look very closely. What does she do? She weeps. She stands at the feet of Jesus weeping. She's weeping over her sin. She's weeping over her past. This is a broken woman. She's not kind of standing there in her lifestyle saying, yeah, well, I'm just coming in. I'm going to be who I'm going to be. No, she is a broken woman. If you've been with us in Luke, the same word here for she weeps is exactly the same word that was used just a few stories before of the woman weeping over her dead son. That's how broken she is. She is weeping over her sins, her lifestyle, her choices, the things she has done that are against God. And as she comes into the presence of the Lord Jesus in all his perfection, in all his goodness, in all his love, you know, in the previous story, he's called the friend of tax collectors and sinners, prostitutes, the people that everyone else leaves out. Here in the presence of that person, she is overwhelmed and she weeps. She weeps at her sin. Now, what does she weep at? I remember crying as a kid over naughty things I did. But why was I crying? Because mum and dad caught me. That's why I was crying. I wasn't sorry about what I'd done. I was sorry I'd got caught. What's she weeping about? She's weeping about the offence of her sin. You see, have a look. Jesus goes on to tell a story to Simon, to the Pharisee. Verse 41. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii. So just to get your head into that, that's like 500 days' wages. That is mega money, okay? Big money. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. This woman knows her past, knows what she's lived like, and she weeps because she understands something about the way she's lived. She understands that the choices she has made, that the behavior she has shown, the attitudes of her heart have been against God. And it is likened here to having a huge debt, clocking up a huge bill that you cannot pay. And she sees it and she weeps over her sin. She weeps over the offence of her sin before God, and she weeps over the size of her sin. She recognises that as a woman who's probably lived as a prostitute, she has gone all out in her sin. She has gone in all out in her rebellion against God. Years and years, perhaps, of God denying memories are flooding to her mind as she stands there before Jesus. You ever had that experience of past sins flooding to your mind? Memory after memory. And what does it do? It causes her to weep. Forgiven? Yes. But weeping over sin? Yes. And this is one of the ways forgiveness or forgiven people still show that they're forgiven today. A forgiven person carries, now hear this rightly, a forgiven person carries a sensitivity to sin. A forgiven person doesn't, are they forgiven? Has the debt been cancelled? Yes, but is sin a laughable matter? No. We see sin for what it is. We see sin as an offence to God. We see it as a debt that we cannot pay. Forgiven people are exposed. They reveal themselves. They show themselves because they have a sensitivity to sin. It is worthy to weep over. And as forgiven people, and if you're here by faith in Jesus, forgiven this morning, as forgiven people, we will still battle with memories of past sins. I do. I remember stupid things that I have done in rebellion against God, and they still plague me. I still wake up in cold sweats about some of them. Forgiven, yes, but weeping over sin. And what about our ongoing battle with sin? Does that cause you to weep? It should. We have a sensitivity to sin because we see it for what it is. It's not just trivialities, but they are offences against a living, an eternal, and a true God. People looking in faith to Jesus can be seen by their ongoing sensitivity to sin. We can and we should weep over sins past, present and future. Does your sin cause you to weep? That's my question for you this morning. Does your sin genuinely cause you to weep? That might be physical tears. It might be, maybe you're not wired that way where you don't cry very often. But maybe it's the inner wrestle. Maybe it's the turmoil of the mind and the heart that expresses that. But do we have a sensitivity to sin? Here is a woman forgiven who humbles herself at the feet of Jesus and weeps. Could that be seen of you? If I spent a week with you, if you spent a week with me, could we be seen as people who weep over our sin? That is one of the giveaway signs of someone who is forgiven. They have a sensitivity to sin. Becoming a Christian starts with weeping over sin. There's no way that you'll want Jesus if you don't weep over sin. And being a Christian continues with weeping over sin. Forgiven, yes. Debts cancelled, yes. But that doesn't rob the fact that you still weep over sin. So are you more like this woman, or are you more like Simon, the Pharisee? That's the question. You can't miss it in this story, isn't it? It's a contrast of two people side by side. This woman, she is filled with grief over her own sin. But what about Simon? Well, Simon, look at verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Simon, he sees sin, but whose sin does he see? He sees her sin. He's very quick to see the sins of another, but fails to see, even as a man who's done church and all the things that he's done in his life, he fails to see himself as a man with a debt. However well behaved you are, however much church you've done, you have a debt before God because of sin. That is just true. And Simon cannot see it. Simon cannot see it. All he does is sit self-righteously above this woman. He doubts Jesus, this man, if this man were a prophet. And he sees this woman's sin. He has no sense of weeping in himself. He just wants this woman gone. And you see, here's a danger, isn't it? You see, we can either be like this woman, broken over sin, or we can be like Simon, sitting self-righteously, just looking at the sins of others. Who are you more like? See, maybe for some of us, that's a giveaway sign that we're not forgiven. Simon here as a man who has no faith in Jesus, as a man who has no weeping over his sin, shows himself to be a non-forgiven person. It's the evidence that he has not forgiven. But actually this woman shows all the signs of being forgiven. And if we this morning are showing some of the signs of Simon, if it's creeping into you, if you sit there and you're more judgmental about somebody else's sin than you are about your own, Then first of all, that may be a sign that you're not trusting Jesus for forgiveness. And if you are trusting Jesus for forgiveness, then it may be a warning sign to you that you've taken your eyes off your sin. You've stopped weeping over your sin. And you've started to be more self-righteous over others. And believer, if that is you this morning, let me tell you that you better pray hard for a good, healthy dose of the Spirit to give us a sensitivity back to sin. Let us pray that we don't sit self-righteously, that we don't do a Simon, but we do a woman. Or we ask for a double portion of this woman's spirit, that we might weep over the debts we have rather than just looking at everybody else's. So those who are forgiven, how do you spot them? They weep over sin. But they also show great love for Jesus. Come back with me to the story. It's a very dramatic story, but here is a woman. Here is a woman who has received big forgiveness. Remember Jesus' story? 500 days' wages. That's a massive debt. You know, this is huge. You're meant to see the scale. Jesus says this woman has many sins. Her debt is big. But her debt has been cancelled. Her debt has been paid for. Everything she's done has been cancelled by Jesus. As Jesus came into this world, as he from this story onwards heads to the cross, he's heading there. Why? To forgive the debts of this woman. To forgive the debts of anyone who will come to him in faith. The Lord Jesus came to forgive debts. And this woman has big forgiveness. But her big forgiveness shows itself in big love for Jesus. Did you see that? That's what Jesus concludes in verse 47. Look very carefully. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. Now, this is something we're in danger of getting the wrong way round. You see, it's not that she is forgiven because she loved Jesus loads. That is just work your way to God stuff, okay? If I love Jesus, if I do loads of good things for him, if I help, you know, the poor, if I just try really hard to obey the Ten Commandments, then he'll love me, then he'll forgive me. That's the wrong way round according to this story. Here, she loves Jesus. She shows this extravagant, over-the-top love for Jesus. Why? Because she's forgiven. Because she sees something of the size of the debt that has been cancelled. And she overflows in love for the Lord Jesus. It says in the New Testament, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for us. It is this love for Jesus that we see in this woman's actions. She's forgiven and it just pours out, doesn't it? It pours out in love. Weeping, yes, but overflowing in generosity to the Lord Jesus. Just look at what Jesus asks Simon at the end of verse 41. He says, which of them will love him more? The one who's had the small debt forgiven or the one who's had the big debt forgiven? He wants Simon to see that this woman's actions are love for him. Love for Jesus. Jesus wants him to see that it's out of love that she stands at his feet, wetting the feet, pouring this perfume on him. Now you see, we're not very tuned. Okay, let's just be honest about something. If you're reading this as someone who lives in Edmonton in 2015, you think this is just a bit weird, isn't it? A woman who walks into a room, stands at someone's feet, pours perfume on them, kisses them, and wipes them with her hair. Some of us may be thinking that's a bit gross, wouldn't we? Because it's just not what I think. But this, in their culture, Jesus draws attention to it, is an act of great love. Let me show you how. Look at verse 44. He turns towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? Actually, Simon doesn't see her. All he can see is her sin. But he says, do you see this woman? I came into your house, Simon. You did not give me water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. That was the custom in their days. But this woman has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. A custom in their days. But she has poured perfume on my feet. We may not see this as big love, but it really was. She extravagantly pours out her treasures on Jesus. This alabaster jar of perfume. We may be thinking, well, that's no big deal. You could just nip down Edmonton Market and get something like that. But this was a treasure to her. And what does she do? She just pours it out on Jesus. She doesn't care what people think. Can you imagine the mutterings in that room? How hard must it have been for her to stand there in that room of people looking down on her? But she doesn't care. She just wants Jesus. And she just pours out herself extravagantly for Jesus, the one who's forgiven her. It spills into her actions. And believer, this morning, can I ask you a question? Could Jesus say verse 47 about you? Look at the question, or look at what he says, the statement, sorry. Therefore, I tell you, her or your many sins have been forgiven as your great love has shown. Could Jesus say of me, of you, that our great love gives away that we're forgiven people? Do we overflow in love for Jesus because he's forgiven us? Now, we're not going to show love like this, are we? You know, alabaster jars of perfume and tears. But that doesn't mean that we can't show great love. We can't show that kind of all-out, overspilling love for Jesus with our treasures, our time, our money. To serve Jesus today, he tells us, means to serve his people. To serve our community by sharing the gospel. We show our love for Jesus by what we do in our world for him. We show our love for Jesus in the way we worship and the way we obey. Do you overspill in love for Jesus? Do you have great love for him? That's the question, isn't it? What gives you away? Would people spot that we are people forgiven by Jesus because of our great love for Jesus? When we take our eyes off our forgiveness, and I think this is where it works actually, if we lose sight of the size of the debt that we have been forgiven, then our love for Jesus grows very cold. When we think, Jesus didn't do that much for me really, because I'm a pretty good boy. Actually, do you know what? We'll start to get cold. We've got to get our eyes. If you want to be someone who overspills with love for Jesus, then it starts by keeping your eyes fixed on the cross. It starts by keeping your eyes fixed on what it cost Jesus to forgive you. And then you might start to have a flicker of love. When you see your offensiveness of your sin, of the clocking up of a debt against Jesus over and over and over again, just then the little spark of love might start to flicker. It is only as we keep our eyes on how much we've been forgiven. She was forgiven much and she loved much. That's where love flows from. We don't rustle it up. We don't, I've got to love Jesus more. No, you get your eyes on just what he's done for you. You get your eyes on the cross and the resurrection and the ascension and your hope of eternity. And you'll say, yes, he loves me. And boy, do I love him. That's what happens. Those who love Jesus show that they're forgiven. You see, the danger is for us that we become Simons, don't we? We do the bare minimum for Jesus. The absolute minimum. See, Simon has no feel for his debts. He has no feel that he's a man who's got anything that he owes Jesus. And what does he do? He treats Jesus as with the bare minimum. He invites him into his house. He lets him sit at his table. But he does show him no love. He didn't kiss the man when he came in. I know, guys, in our culture, that's a bit weird. You wouldn't want anyone to kiss you when you came in. I know that. But in some cultures, it's a great thing to do. It's a sign of welcoming. Isn't that right, Nick, in Turkey? That's right. Yeah. So in Turkey, Nick would have to kiss men on the way in. That is part of their welcoming culture. But Simon couldn't even do that for Jesus. That's how cold he was. The bare minimum is what he did for Jesus. And if you sit here this morning as someone who does the bare minimum for Jesus, gives the bare minimum to his people, does the bare minimum with your time. Yeah, I'll come to church, but that's about it. Or I'll maybe read my Bible for a few minutes in the morning, but that's it. If that's how you express your love for Jesus, then be careful. Just maybe you've taken your eyes off the size of the debt that Jesus has forgiven. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the cross and your love has grown cold. Those forgiven by Jesus show great love for Jesus. Let's pray, shall we, that we get our eyes back on the cross. That we get our eyes back on what it is that he's done for us. That we might, as a church family, bubble over in love for Jesus. And if we have no love for Jesus, then it may be a sign to us today that really we haven't put our faith in Jesus. We don't see what Jesus has done for us. Big forgiveness, big love. And then thirdly and finally, those forgiven by Jesus. How do you spot them? They have peace. People forgiven by Jesus have a peace that you cannot explain. Here is a woman. The woman in our story, this portrait that we're looking at today. She comes weeping. You notice that? She verse 38, she comes in a right state, broken. But how does she leave verse 50? Go in peace. It literally means, in the Greek, which is the language that the New Testament was originally written, it literally means go into peace. She leaves into this path of peace. She walks in peace. As she comes to Jesus broken over sin, as she expresses this great love, as she kind of bubbles over in love for Jesus, what does she experience? She experiences a gift from Jesus, which is then peace over her sin. See, what does it mean? It's very 60s, isn't it? Peace. You know, like all the hippies and the Volkswagen camper vans. Peace, man. What does it mean to have peace? Actually, do you know what it means? Look at verse 48. Yes, an inner peace, isn't it? Verse 48, your sins are forgiven. You know, she's already forgiven because she's already got her faith in Jesus. Her love is in this story is an expression of her forgiveness. But Jesus whispers gently to her once again, your sins are forgiven. This is assurance. A believer gives away that they are forgiven because they receive assurance from Jesus. This is a beautiful thing. How many times, if you're a Christian in this room, how many times have memories of old sins stirred you to wonder whether you're really forgiven? How many times is there a particular sin that you've remembered and you thought, well, maybe Jesus didn't deal with that one. Maybe he forgot about that one. Maybe he missed that one. Or perhaps that one was just too big for Jesus to deal with, and I need something a bit extra to top it up. Now, I know we don't put it like that, but there are ways that we remember old sins that cause us to doubt whether we're really forgiven. How many of us come weeping over current failings and doubt our forgiveness? In this moment, forgiven people can look where? They can look afresh to Jesus. They can look afresh to the cross as we come weeping, as we continue to show love. The Lord Jesus gives us assurance, peace. Peace that we are forgiven people. We have no debt. That's amazing, isn't it? We have no debts. No debts. Peace with God. There's nothing. There's, you know when you've got some, if you've borrowed something from someone and you see them and it's the first thing that springs to mind. Have you ever had that experience? I think there was somebody I borrowed a book from once and I lost it. And I was really embarrassed about going into their presence anyway, because I was thinking, they're just going to ask me about the book. They're going to ask me about the book. I'm going to be in trouble. And you think there's that awkwardness, isn't there, of relationship when you owe somebody something. But you don't have that with God because of Jesus. There is no awkwardness. You no longer owe a debt of your sins because it's forgiven in Jesus. And peace comes over you, a settledness. This is okay. Peace with God and peace within. It is well with my soul. If we've been hanging around churches any length of time, there are a couple of old hymns that always come to mind when you talk about this kind of stuff. So one songwriter puts it like this. He says, when Satan tempts me to despair, and when he tells me of my guilt within, you know, when he niggles away and he just says that thing you did, when Satan tempts me to despair, upward I look and I see Jesus there who made an end to all my sin. What is that? That is peace. The peace that comes from Jesus. A forgiven person's peace. Oh, my sin, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. What is that? Peace. You know how that song goes on? It is well with my soul. What is that? That is peace. Peace from Jesus. And it is something that forgiven people have. Peace. As this woman throws herself into her love for Jesus, she walks away with peace. As forgiven people showing our Lord Jesus love. Do you know, one of the things as we throw ourselves into loving Jesus, one of the fruits of that, one of the things, as it were, the returns of that is peace. That may be a weird way around to think of it, but that's one of the things that comes. This story shows us. So how do you spot a forgiven person? They weep. They weep over their sins. They show it. And they have peace with God. An inner peace about their forgiveness. Is that you this morning? Could somebody spot us as forgiven people? Do you know assurance and peace? That it is well with your soul? Have you ever experienced coming to Jesus weeping but leaving with peace? You can. You can. This is the ongoing experience of every Christian. Every true Christian forgiven by faith in the Lord Jesus. Experience this. Weeping, showing love and peace. And maybe this morning you're here and as yet you've never tasted that forgiveness. You've never wept over sin. You've never shown great love for Jesus because you've realised how much he's done for you and you haven't known peace. And I want to say to you that you can know those things today. This woman, with all her past, with all her messiness, with all her brokenness, came to Jesus in faith and said, Jesus, you can forgive me. And he did. And you know what? The same is true for you. Jesus can forgive you if you come to him in faith. That's why he came into our world. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he rose from the dead, and that's why he's back in heaven and will come one day to forgive people like us. So forgiven people, they weep, they show their love, and they have peace with God. Let's bow our heads, shall we, and let's pray for a few moments together.